Hey, it's Compass FM, and joining me in the studio is joining with me in the studio, Sam Jones, Commodore, the Waimakariri Sailing Club. Sam, thanks for coming into Compass FM. You've been pretty busy over the last, well, how many weeks?
It's been since last year. Since last year, we've been flat out with these events, which has been great. I've got to start off this, though, Kerry, with an apology, because you came down to help us out the other Sunday, and I called you Bruce.
There was
a crowd there, and I could see on your face the mistake, and I was like, oh, I've just mucked it up.
Look, don't worry about it. I called Brennan Whittemu here. He's from Civil Defence. I was calling him by his last name for the entire It happens, mate, and don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. That was actually a really, really good initiative that you put together, and I was very happy to go down to help plant some trees in the Tūhaetara Coastal Park. That happened not this weekend, the last weekend.
Last weekend, on the 12th, yeah. So we had we reached out to some other organisations, volunteer organisations, including you guys, and we had a fantastic turnout. So all together, including Coast Guard, Big Brothers Big Sisters, Scout Group, Surf Life Saving, I'm going to miss one, and I'm going to be annoyed and kick myself again. But we had people turn up, just people from the local community who heard it on the radio, turned up to help us do a beach clean and a river clean, and also plant some trees. So we continue planting a few trees on the Thursday night, which I'll talk about, but in the end we planted 755 trees with the trust.
I must admit that I must have dug about 50 of those holes because I was like the young bull, had no idea what I was doing apart from just getting stuck in, and I burnt myself out at about the hour mark. I had things to do a bit later on that afternoon, so I had to go. But well done to you, and well done to the Tūhaetara Coastal Park too. You do an amazing job.
Well, they're great to work with. Emily Dawson, who was the ranger who came down, had everything sorted out. Our guys, we sort of rung them and said, do you want to come back for a barbecue at 2 o'clock? And they're like, no, we just want to power through. So we fired up the barbecue again at 4 o'clock, got some great photos, but we got delivered a couple of skips. We're expecting some domestic skips, and we got commercial sized massive skips, like semi trailers from Container Waste, which was organised through Kaipui Promotions, so thank you to those two organisations. And we managed to fill one almost. And that's a huge amount of rubbish on a day that not a lot had been washed up. So up and down the river, the bottles, cans, we found tyres, we found parts. We could have almost built a car. We could almost have started a second foot shop rather than a second hand shop, because we found about 60 pairs of shoes.
Amazing.
None of them matched, but it's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's like my sock drawer, to be honest. But Sam, the thing is that was one day. You cleaned up one day. If we went back again tomorrow, would we find the same amount of rubbish?
So Emily was saying that with the tide and the weather, so it's nor'west today, it's going to be blowing everything offshore, so there's probably not much there. But you get a couple of days of nor'east like we had over the weekend, chances are there's lots down the beach. And talking to Lockie down at the Surf Life Saving, he's saying some days it's terrible and other days there's hardly anything there. But the whole point of this, and I'm trying to get this message across, and I picked up, I think, 4 or 5 bits of rubbish yesterday that were just plastic bottles or whatever, just as I was walking in my car to the car park or whatever else. I'd love everybody to get into their head that it's not somebody else's issue. Just pick it up and put it in the bin. The council can sort it from there.
Exactly. And look, the loser that just dropped it, whatever it is, let them move on and carry on. But there's more good people than there are losers, if you are. And maybe that's not the right term to use.
Well, no, it is. I think, you know, I drive to work through to a Hiwi that way, around the back, come out at Pineacres. And there's a bed on the side of the road now. And then there's just a black rubbish bag that would fit in a normal rubbish bin down the street. Yeah. And it's like people go out of their way just to stick it to the man, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the planet is our responsibility. So I hope that 99% of people are not the bed dumpers, but the people who, I don't know, it must cost, what, $20 to dump a bed down at the dump? It's not a big thing.
Yeah.
So
instead of making it someone else's problem, just if you can, please just get rid of it. Yeah, look, that was the start of a very, very special week, and an association with the Canadian Sail GP team. Last weekend was the racing, but that actually went really, really well for you too. Was it Phil? He popped out on Thursday night.
Phil Robertson. So Phil's a Kiwi. He grew up sailing around New Zealand, and then headed over himself. He didn't go through the normal professional channels. He headed over himself and headed to Europe to do the match racing with a bunch of mates, and won 2 world match racing titles. So you go up against Dean Barker and Russell Coutts and Adam Anaprio and a lot of other Kiwis, as well as a lot of famous people around the world. So on Tuesday night we shot in with with about 35 people from the club, and we're able to go through a tech tour through their base over at Littleton, their sale GP base. And usually you get a sale GP person showing you around. Well, as soon as we got there, Phil popped out and says, hey, look, I'll show you around. And we're all a bit starstruck and going, holy mackerel, this, you know, this guy's world famous and hell of a nice guy. We were able to climb over the boats and have a really good look at them, look at the wings up close, looked at the Kiwi boat, got to touch the Kiwi boat, and look at how big they are when they're in a shed. You know, but they also really look small compared to out in the water. So that was Tuesday night, and that was great. That went for a couple of hours, and then Thursday, a bunch of us went over and were coaching the youth program over there, which is in boats called RS Fevers. And on Thursday night, we had an event at the club, which we advertised through here, and we advertised through the paper, etc. And we packed out the club, which was great. But I was a bit nervous because I didn't know who was coming from the Canadian team, because they didn't tell us. So I rang Hugo, who's my contact, and said, mate, you're on your way. And he said, yeah. He said, about 14 minutes away in an Uber. I said, who have you got with you? He said, I've got Phil again. He was so impressed with your team last time. We got Phil again. So he did a wonderful promotion for, well, just a presentation for an hour, answered lots of questions. We had some visual stuff there as well for the people, but he was really impressed with how much our sailors knew about SailGP and how all that works. And then stayed around for a barbecue. He wasn't in a hurry. He stayed around for a barbecue and a beer. Planted some more trees with us, and got some photos even with some of our more senior members. You wouldn't think would be starstruck,
but they were
dragging them into the corner. Photo, please, photo, please.
That's fantastic. Hey, Sam, can you hang around for a couple of minutes? I'm just going to get one of these songs because I've got another couple of questions for you in regards to SailGP over the weekend. So we're talking sailing. So we had the big cleanup. We had the meeting on the Thursday night at the Waimakariri Sailing Club. Then the racing sort of happened, all the preparation for the racing, SailGP. You were right up and close to it. You know, is it as good to be there live or see it on TV? Because I watch the SailGP on TV.
Well, I think for me and a lot of friends who sail, and even people who went over to the grandstand and don't sail, the sensory overload is huge, because they whistle as they go past, and there's huge amounts of spray coming off them, and they're doing, you know, 70, 80, 90 kilometres an hour round a mark, where, you know, if you did that in your car, you'd feel a bit uncomfortable. And, and Phil Robertson from the Canadian team was saying they're quite good at getting across the, because you imagine your G-forces, you're going around and you're running across a trampoline at the same time. He said new people fall off all the time because they just don't understand where they're going to put their foot next. But they are huge boats. You know, I sail on a 30-foot yacht over at Littleton, flying machine, thanks Craig. And, you know, it's a decent-sized boat. But compared to these boats, they're just huge. And they're aggressive and they're close. The racing's, you know, bow to stern. And I'd suggest to anybody, if you can in the future, hopefully it's going to Auckland next year. So if you can get up there, do that. But it's coming back the year after, hopefully. So if you do get a chance to go and see it, you can just see it for free over in Diamond Harbour. You can sit up on the hill and watch it, which a few other friends did. But just, it is spectacular to watch. It's not like a car, like Formula One, so precise now. Very rarely do you see a good crash or just somebody mucking up. Whereas with these, you would have seen the Aussies fall off the foils, and suddenly the grandstand, we were about 2k away from the grandstand, and we could hear it erupt. I'm not saying there's rivalry between New Zealand and Australia, but there is, and we, you know.
There was one thing that one of the Australian crew, there was a bit of a pre-race bit of a chat, and he says, you know, these Kiwis, the only thing that they live for is to beat Australians, you know. And that, I guess, is, well, that's actually not a bad sort of a thing, is it?
Well, it's Canterbury, Auckland as well, right? The Blues against Crusaders, you know, we're always and Phil, when he came out to the club, said if we're sailing against New Zealand in the final, who are you all cheering for? And the room went very quiet. But I said to him in the end, we vote for anybody, Kiwis and anyone beating Australia, which in that final they did, of course.
He did actually beat the
And Kiwi Skippers 1 and 2 was pretty cool on home waters. And look, you got to hand it to Littleton to put on a great day. That was just champagne racing for those boats, and for spectators, and for the guys on the shore.
Do you think that the course was too compact?
They had the obstructions in the middle, which is the navigation marks. So they couldn't go between those. They had to set up a course that meant that you could get across and back. So it's about the same size as any of the other courses. Bermuda's great, great sound, etc. But it just, I think, because the land's closer, it looked a bit more compact. But having that obstruction in the middle, which they couldn't go between those marks, meant that they had to think differently. And that was really cool to see.
In 2 years' time, you say SailGP is coming back to Littleton.
I'm hoping.
That's
the news that we've been told.
That's the plan. Is it now time to investigate people with boats so that you can actually get out on the water? Is that the best place to be?
Yeah, we kind of joke and say the better thing than having your own boat is having somebody else with a boat, a friend with a boat. I think, look, make your plans around getting over to Diamond Harbour if you don't want to pay anything. Or the grandstands, friends who are in the grandstand said it was amazing, and they've put the finish line right in front of the grandstand. You can feel the spray.
Yeah.
And these big boats coming in and suddenly coming off the foils. So, yeah, there were lots of boats out there on the weekend, and there was, you know, and so investigate it. But, you know, I on Sunday was on Flying Machine. We're at anchor. I'd parked up the coach boat behind it and watched, and it is phenomenal from the water, especially as you're going up and down yourself and you're right in the, and you can feel the wind shadow as the boat goes past. On Saturday we were, I was amongst the youth that we were coaching, and we were really close to the bottom left hand mark if you're looking up the course. And the boats coming in, they were coming towards us, and we were thinking, I hope they turn away, you know, because you see them come off the foil sometimes. And I was looking at the kids thinking, we might have to just take you guys back a wee bit. But what I would say too, it was incredibly well-run event. A lot of the ribs or the safety boats had people I knew on them, and they were doing a great job of keeping people back, but close enough that you could see it.
Yeah,
you know, not stupidly far back that you couldn't see exactly what was going on. But
wow, it was an amazing event to watch on TV. So possibly that's an idea for me to get organised in a couple of years' time. If people have got the sailing bug just by seeing that on TV, where should they go? Do they come to the Waimak Sailing Club?
Yeah, absolutely. So go to our website or go to the Facebook page. My contact details are on there. Give us a yell, bring the kids down if they were really excited about it, and we can put them in a boat, we can put them in our chase boat and just go for a bit of a black to give them a bit of a thrill, or we can put in an opti, or we've got our junior coaches Cameron and Cadence who can take them out on a two-person boat. And then my daughter Lexi loves teaching people how to capsize. That's probably a favourite thing. So we've got the gear, we've got the boats, we've got the wetsuits, we've got the life jackets, we've got everything there. A junior membership's about $100 a year, you know, and if it's the second half of the year, we don't charge a full amount.
Phil, what's Phil's last name from Canadian GP?
Robertson.
Phil Robertson. He started on Waimak Sailing Club size
Types of clubs, yeah, clubs, just home clubs, yeah. And P classes and Starlings, the same as we did. I found it a little bit boring after a while, so I had to go to slightly bigger boats. I went through the Royal Yacht Squadron's youth program, which sort of put them up to the next level. But look, there's lots you can do on boats. You just don't have to go racing. It's great to sit out there and have a wine and a boat. No, not the kids.
We need someone sober to drive the boat back home.
That's right, you do. Always need somebody sober to drive the boat back home.
Hey, it could happen. You could be a superstar of sailing in 5-10 years' time, get stuck in the Waimak Dirty Sailing Club. Sam Jones, Commodore, thank you so much for coming in and keeping in contact with Compass.
Thanks, Kerry, and thanks, Compass. We really appreciate it.
Compass FM.